All right, so this morning I'm kicking off a series for the month of August, and it's called Chosen with Purpose. Let's see, this is just a spunk. All right, so, but seeing that this next Sunday we're celebrating the ladies, I've asked three ladies to preach for us over the course of this month. So I hope you are ready. It's going to be something different. Some of them is slightly challenged, but we're going to have good time in the Lord's presence. And we trust that through this time that the Lord's going to minister to you and that you will meet with Him and that you will just even grow in expectation for what is in the future. So this morning, I'm going to kick it off and just to maybe explain my my picture here. You know, the title is obviously Chosen with Purpose, and what this picture signifies for me is suit up. You know, if a warrior, or even if you're in the army and you need to go to war, there's no point in going in your tackies and your pluckies, or if your pluckies and, you know, short and a t-shirt. You know, if you get like that in Iraq, they're going to think that you're a tourist and you're not serious about war. All right? So in those times, I don't know what it must have been like wearing this stuff. I mean, this is gym without going to gym. You suited up and you know, you probably would have been nice and heavy. No wonder, you know, in the movies when they pull out their shirts, it's all just, you know, muscles and stuff because they had to be frisk. But this morning, I want to, as I speak through this, you know, I think just open your heart to receive what God wants to do within you. Have a you and God moment this morning. So I'm gonna start this off, and I want to read 1 Samuel 16. Now, if I say David, what is the first thing that comes to mind? I'm a video of David repeating Columba. All right, so Goliath. Yes, but he danced naked before the Lord. Well, just in his cloth. But there's a few things if we think of that. Who thinks of the Psalms and the stuff that he wrote in Psalms, you know? Yes, but most of us think of Goliath and you know, the way that he slayed him. And such a powerful moment in Scripture and such an inspiration to all of us, knowing that, you know, we doesn't matter who we are, God wants to use us. And that's essentially what we're gonna speak about this morning. So in 1 Samuel 16, it says this: "Greetings," he replied. "I have come to sacrifice to the Lord." So this is Samuel speaking. "Perform the ceremonies to make yourselves holy and come to me to sacrifice." So he performed the ceremonies for Jesse and his sons and invited them to sacrifice. When they came, he saw Eliab. Eliab was the typical guy in the suit, all muscles and stuff. And thought, certainly, here is the Lord's presence. Here in the Lord's presence is his anointed king. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't look at his appearance or how tall he is, because I've rejected him." This is strong words. Okay? God does not see as humans see. Humans look at outward appearances, but God looks into your... Now, let's just pause there. But how many of you have in life looked at someone and thought, "Wow, I just want to be like him. You know, he's got so much charisma. You know, this guy is so... You know, when he walks in, he's got such a presence, you know, and you think, I just want to be like him, man." But what do we see? We look at the exterior. We look at what we see. We look at the way the person carries himself, you know, to their speech, and how much of this world that we are living in is based on that. You know, even probably your performance and your promotion at work is based on who you are and what they see. And our whole world is designed around this place where, you know, if you're eloquent in your speech, or, you know, you have got a certain skill, then you will probably be the most highly paid person. You know, I've seen pastors, for instance, you know, when they walk in room, it's almost, you know, it's like, "Yo, you know, this is Jesus, like, looking right through me," and you're all just like, And you think, yes, you know, can I just carry myself like that? But yeah, God makes it clear that He doesn't look into people in the same way that we look. We look at the exterior. We look at the way that they move, that they speak, that the work that they do, and then we go like, yeah, yeah. Who of you have looked at people and thought that, well, toch net nie soos hulle is? None of this? Okay, Christians in this room, yes, none of you have done that. So, good company here this morning. We must all now repent. Let's just pray. But we do that. And here Samuel does exactly the anointed priest of God sits here and he goes like, yo, this is the point. We need to anoint this one. And God goes, no, I rejected you. Sure. I mean, that gets me. Then Jesse called Abinadab and brought him to Samuel, but Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Then Jesse said, Shammah come to Samuel, and the Lord has not chosen him this one either. Now I can think Samuel is now probably going, you know, we're getting short of guys coming through now. Yeah, what is happening? So, Jesse brought 7 more sons of his sons to Samuel, but Samuel told Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of them. Now think of the dad. I mean, here you are, proud father. You bring your sons before the prophet because now the prophet is here. He's coming to sacrifice. You know something is up. So you bring your best, you know, your big boys. And now God goes like, but I haven't chosen any of these. I don't want to know what went through the boys' thoughts afterwards. But as a father, you know, as the sons walk past, his loaves are rejected. Those rejected. It's like, phew, and I thought I produced good fruit. And yet God is saying, no, I've not chosen one of these. And then he says, are these all of your sons? Now, think of this. Where's David? He's in the field. Why did his dad not call him? What is going on in this family that David is like, ah, we're not even going to call him. You know, the prophet doesn't come every second week. Not weekly to the church. This prophet now suddenly preaches. So if I was the dad, I would go like, I'm on with us. And I just get everybody in. But why is his father not sending to fetch David? So there's something going on here in this family. And then he says, there's still the youngest one. He probably went, oh, there's still the youngest one. Shall not do. And Jesse answered, he said, he's tending the sheep. Samuel told Jesse, send someone to get him. Now the whole ceremony is on hold because they need to fetch David. We won't continue until he's here. A prophet that knows what he needs to do. So Jesse sent for him. He had a healthy complexion, attractive eyes, oh, and all the women, and a handsome appearance, like me. In any case, the Lord said, go ahead. Anoint him. Can you imagine the surprise of the father and even his brothers as they fetch this one that is out there in the field that is doing probably the lowest job of everybody? He's just looking after sheep, and God says, now anoint this one. What a shock it must have been to them. And God just actually proves here that he does not look at the external. Because if we read the Psalms, if we read David's life, then we know in the field he was playing the harp, he was singing, you know, he was taking on the bear and the lion. You remember? You know? See, and we see that God looks past the physical. God doesn't look at it. So I want to encourage you this morning. It doesn't matter what shape you are. You know, whether you've got like a uitroepteken shape, you know, a number one, or you're a number zero, or if you're in between, it doesn't matter what shape you are. Your clothes size doesn't determine this. God doesn't look at your outside. I want to encourage you that you were made in this image. And there's a whole sermon on its own.
So 1 Corinthians 1 verse 28 and 29 says this. And this is the God's Word Bible. He says, God chose what the world considered ordinary and what it despises, what it considers to be nothing, in order to destroy what it considers to be something. As a result, no one can brag in God's presence. So, in this portion of scripture, he's speaking about the gospel. That the gospel is simple. The gospel is not something that comes in great, you know, with great pomp and power. It is something simple that is changing the world. And in the same way, God chooses that which is not necessarily the biggest and the best to defy what is actually considered in human terms as the best and the biggest. Now, just thinking of that, how can I allow God to use my life then in a way that I don't think it's even worthy of using? So many of us sit here this morning, and if we have to have an open this, you know, conversation with a legit conversation and just saying, but where are you at? What do you think about yourself? How do you consider yourself? Do you think that you're cool? You could probably give me 20 reasons why you think you are not the chosen one. You are not chosen for anything great. You're going to say to me, Quivers, that's fine. I'll just do the lowly stuff, the behind the scenes stuff. I was never called to do anything spectacular. The Amplified messes this up quite a bit more. Amplified. And God also selected, deliberately chose, what in the world is low-born and insignificant and branded to be and treated with contempt, even the things that are nothing, that he might dispose and bring to nothing the things that are. So that no mortal man should have pretense or glory for glorifying and boast in the presence of the Lord. So it's like God chooses these very things that are lowly, these very things that are not, you know, in our context, destined for greatness, to do what? To shatter everything that we think is. You know, and just in that, I can see purpose for my life. I can see what God wants to do far beyond who I think I am. I guess the question is, who do you think you are? Now, I want to quickly tell you a story. It's going to be, I'm going to try and keep this short, but it's my life story. I was born in Brixton, in a railway dorpie, which was considered, if it's working for the railway, you know, you were nothing. My dad called us to, you know, did all sorts of stuff. And we grew up in that place. And I grew up as a young man, very timid, you know, even going to school, I was not academically strong. I never amounted to anything. I was never chosen for it. You know, when you get to standard 5, was that grade 7, and they start looking at matrix, you know, prefix, sorry, matrix, prefix. Then I was, you know, grade 5 and I did matrix. I was that brilliant. Not. So, you know, on the day that they announce the prefix and you know, the one gets called after, and you're sitting there secretly, I never got chosen for that. You know, when the boys went to play games, when there was rugby or anything, you know, and they go like, oh, I choose you, Owen. I was always the last one to be chosen. I was never the guy that everybody, yes, Kabosius, first one. I was a short, tubby little dude. It's a lot more tubby than I am now. Even high school, never amount to anything. I was always the guy that was silent. I never did anything wrong. I was considered to be a goody two-shoes. Just went through life, you know, sort of unnoticed. Nobody knew I existed. And I guess there was a place in my life where I thought that was cool. Went to army. Now in army, you know, sort of you start, you know, becoming a young man. And then you walk into this arena and you think, yes, because in the army, no. And there's some bulla bulla there, and there's some, your Robert Owens. And You know, and even in that, at the end of your 3 months, basic, then they look at, you know, who they're going to send for training to become corporals and lieutenants and so on. You know, again, so I'm there and I'm going, yes, you know, corporal. Oh, actually, I thought lieutenant. I mean, he wants to be a corporal. Anyway, so I kind of put out my heart for this, and then they start choosing, and the corporal comes and he hands you the papers, and everybody gets chosen, and my school is nowhere. You know, that starts speaking to you, that starts breaking you down, and you know, from a place of having self-confidence and even looking at yourself and think that you can achieve something, you don't. I left school 2 weeks into standard 9 because I was just not academically suited for school, and I became a plumber. And even in my apprenticeship, I was always the apprentice that I was there. I was never the confidence one. Even when I went for my trade test, I thought I'm going to whack this thing in the wrong way. I won't make it because I just didn't have the confidence to do this. I received Jesus while I was in army. I became born again. And before that time, I used to be an introvert, that I would literally not walk into a shop and ask for the price of a sweet. I just didn't do that. I had one friend, my old school. I didn't have many friends. And then I met Jesus. And he did something in this life that changed everything. But even when I got saved, as I started getting involved in ministry, as I started, you know, doing stuff, you know, even when I was a small group leader, I was always in the space in my head or in my heart where I always felt like the square peg in a round hole. It's like never could I find out where I actually fit. And in ministry, and even as we got involved in church, I was always put in the places where everyone wanted to be. Oh, we've got a gap there, the inquiries. You know what? I never, you know, I moaned in it internally, but I got things done. I just did these things. But never, you know, did I feel like I belong. But in that time, God started working in my life. And when I gave my life to Christ in 1989, but shortly thereafter that I knew God called me to full-time ministry. And it's funny, at that time, even everything that I tried to step into that didn't work. I wanted to do, you know, theological school and all these things, and nothing ever just worked. And now I stand before you today, and you know me as who I am today, but I can tell you one thing, that I didn't think I was anywhere close to being called to this. There was a season where I said, God, it's fine. I know there was that prophecy about doing this for you, but I put it on the shelf, and if it falls off the back, it's okay. I never want to do this again. But you see, God looked even past what I see in myself. God looked past my own insecurities. God looked past, and I tell you, the day that they ordained us, that week before it, I wanted to run away. I was like, how can this be happening? And God just said, no, I want to use you. I still baffle why God wants to use me. I'm so glad he's using me. And I came from nothing and nowhere. In my opinion, the last guy that should do this. I was okay doing nothing. And God still chose me. And in the same way he chose David. He said, listen, men are putting you aside, but I want to use you. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7, he says this, but we have these treasures in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. And I revel in this, the fact that I believe why God is using me and saying this humbly is because I trust that he wants to show and display his power. And so each one of us is sitting here this morning, and we all in some form or measure feel inadequate to do this, and God is saying, but your job, I want to use it. You are called for greatness. You are called for mighty things. And the fact that you don't think so doesn't mean that he's going to do it. He did it in my life where he took me from a place where I never thought I'm going to do anything. I'm still wondering what he's about to do. I'm looking forward to this. And I humbly avail myself to say, God, have your way in me. Let your glory come. And then John 15:16 says this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should, not may, should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. This is an interesting scripture. He's chosen you and he's appointed you that you should do what? Go bear fruit. So we have been chosen, we have been set apart, we have been appointed for one purpose, to bear fruit. And that that fruit should abide. It must abide. It should bring glory to God. And then he ends this off with an interesting portion in the scripture. He says, so that you may ask the Father and he may give this to you. You see, even in my appointment, even in this path God is putting me on, there's a place where I can now come to him and say, Father, I need this. I need strength. I need wisdom. Help me, Lord, to step into what you've got for me. So God has chosen you this morning. And yes, you can think what you want, but he has. In Acts, we read the story of Paul, where he has this experience with God, and you know, Jesus appears to him, and then what? He becomes blind. And then Ananias goes to him. God says, I need you to go pray for this man. Now he's blind. And he gets to in Acts 9:15, he comes there and he says, but the Lord said to him, this is God speaking to Ananias, because now Ananias is like, oh, I'm not doing this. This guy kills Christians. So God says, I need you to go. He says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name to the world. See, why was God calling Paul to write many books, to do many things which we now see in looking back? But why did God call Paul? To take his name to the world. You know, for us sitting here, we can so easily say, I'm called to this, I'm called to that, you know, I must do this. It doesn't matter what God is calling you. The main purpose which God is calling you and me to is to do what? Take his name to the world. Not to church on Sunday. Well, that too. But he's calling you and me to do one thing, and it's take his name to the world. So all we are that jars of clay. We are this containers of taking this world. I am chosen for this purpose, to take his name to the world. May they never know Kubis, that's okay. But may they know Jesus. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will abide, that will not pass away. And Paul was this instrument. But so are you. You are his chosen instrument. You know, and we find ourselves in this life, and let's just be honest. Life throws stuff at us. And you know, sometimes you have months that you go like, oh my hat, when is the sun going to shine? And we can so easily get overwhelmed by these situations. But even in that, even in this time that we're facing now with our masks on and everything, we are still called for one thing, to take his name to the world. So I'm going to close with this. And what we're going to do after this, okay, well, let me just first close. So I want to say to you, it doesn't matter whether you are young or old. Your age doesn't matter. David was a lighty. 13, I think, if I remember correctly, when he was called. You know, testing your parents. I don't know how close your kids are to 13, but 13 we were like scared, you know, not scared, but cautious. Yeah, you know, when do you let your son out? Why not? You know, now they 17 and 19. I'm still thinking, Jesse, how do you let them? Doesn't matter. You are called. Doesn't matter if you're so old that you barely can't move. You're still called. You're still chosen. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. I want to say that. Your gender, there's no issue there. You're still chosen. Your life experiences doesn't even disqualify you. Your past doesn't disqualify you. If our past were to disqualify us, many of us sitting here will be disqualified. Okay. Any you are chosen, regardless of your past. You know, some of us think our past is not that bad. I would like to get God's opinion of it. In any case, yeah. But I can do erg goeders. I can do. She was the first woman I French kissed. Just, that was awesome. In any case, woo, moving right along. Okay, stick to it. Sweet, I'm just going to go to the house. He's on the cover. You know, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. God chose you. He chose you for His purposes. And I want to say to you this morning, He chose you on purpose. There's no accident that you are sitting here. There's no accident that you've received Christ. It's no accident even that you live the life that you are living right now, facing the challenges that you do. It's no accident that you have the family that you have and the friends that surround you. Yes, maybe did you make wrong choices? Congratulations. Well done. You were human. You are still chosen. Doesn't matter what the effects of Corona and this isolation and all this stuff is just bringing to you, you are still chosen. You are chosen on purpose. So this morning I want to say to you, go bear fruit that will endure. Go bear fruit that will change this world. This is the only thing that God requires of us. If you read John 15, then He says, man, unless you abide in me, unless you are connected to me, you can do nothing. You are chosen. Now sit at His feet. Carry His name to the world. Saints, like the whole thing around love that we spoke around, if we don't do this in love, if we don't minister from a place of love, if we don't minister with a sole purpose to take His name to the world, why are we doing this? We are not doing this for us. We are not gathering because it's just what we do. We are Christians. We are called. We have been chosen to carry His name to this world. You sitting at home, I want to say to you that you are chosen. God picked you for His purposes. So don't back off. Don't run away. Don't shrink back. This is not the time to shrink back. This is the time to take His name to the world. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask Kobus to come forward, and we want to start today just speak to you about the new season ahead with the venue and song. And then we're going to end with communion, where we're going to consecrate ourselves, where we're going to bring that to the Lord. Where I want you to consider the fact that you are chosen by God for a time such as this for His purposes. So don't look to yourself and your own things that keep you back. You have been chosen. Thanks, guys.